Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all going to hear from Barry White this morning. the other guy, he'll be back next week. welcome this morning. Glad everybody could be here. We have a lot going on today, and we're happy for everybody that can be part of what we're doing today. We will begin with a celebration, and I can tell you you're already getting ready. So, Joanne Massey, we want to remember her birthday. Her birthday is on the 15th, so we're going to catch it right now. So if everybody will join in, and we'll sing Happy Birthday. While I'm at it, anybody else I need to get? All right. Thank you very much. I did not have an opportunity to see Aubrey this week. Does anybody have an update on him?
Yeah, I talked to Juanita yesterday, and she said he was back at dialysis yesterday. Okay. They had taken 10 liters of fluid off of him, and she said he wouldn't have dialysis again until this Tuesday, so it would probably be a mess by then.
Right.
But he is back at Hillcrest. He went Friday, and Juanita's going to have a nerve clipped in her leg.
Okay, so she doesn't go ahead and do that. All right, but we want to remember both Aubrey and Juanita and what all they are facing, and we ask that God be with them and bless them. Linda, any update on William? About the same. Still getting tired. Okay. So continue to remember William. And lift him up, lift him and the family up in your prayers. Anyone else that we need to mention this morning? Okay, if we could all bow our heads, and we'll have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We're thankful that we can be here with young people, children, adults, older adults, all of us can be here in your house and worship today. We're also thankful for the season of Advent and the coming of the Christ child, and for the opportunity also today to dedicate a child to God. We're so thankful for the blessings that we have and for all the opportunities that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we do have a song that I think everybody knows, so Jessica, take it away.
All right, and as we mentioned last week, we've switched things up a little bit. So our first hymn is our offertory hymn, Jesus Loves Me, hymn 205. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's not Jesus Loves Me.
It's supposed to be Jesus Loves Me. So give me 1 second, and I'll tell you what the number is. 652. Thank you, everyone, for keeping me straight. Appreciate it. 652 is going to be our offertory hymn this morning. We will sing the first and last verses of 652. Let's sing together.
Yeah.
at this time in our service, we are thankful that we can come and offer our blessings and our gifts and our offerings to you so that your word may be spread throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody got a copy of the Goldenrod paper. If you would, please, take that out at this time. We have the beautiful opportunity this morning to celebrate together the dedication of Nora Carol Tyler. And so she has her family here and her extended family and her little ones are all here today, and so we are going to join with everyone in participating in this dedication of Nora to the Lord. And so you'll notice you have in the handout, we have some responsive reading, and so at the various different points where it says congregation and where it says all, please everyone join in together. But at this time, I'll also note that we have all the beautiful poinsettias that are here, many in honor and memory of many people that are dear to us. I'll also take a point of privilege and say this is also a very special day. Many of you remember Evelyn Barbie. She died 13 years ago today, and so I think it's very fitting that we dedicate a child today. I think that would be very, very fitting. And so I know that there are joys from heaven reaching down today. So at this time, I'm going to ask all family members, everybody on these two rows, come on up here to the front. Y'all stay front and center. Yeah. There you go. Some are feeling better than others. Okay. There we go. Package deal. All right. All right, I'm going to ask if you hang on to this rose until we get into the latter part of the service, and I'll have a time where you can present it to Mark. And Carol, I'm going to put one rose here, and hopefully We might stick it in his hands there and see if that'll work. And then I'm going to hang on for one for the rest of the family and for the congregation. And I'll let you know the significance of all of this at the end. But we're so pleased that we can dedicate Nora today. And we have readings that we'll go through. Then a flower ceremony. And then we have a certificate as well that we will present. And so we will now begin. And so, you know that the child that you are holding close to your breast is from the Lord. It is a gift. And it was already known that she would be born on October 1st, 2019. And that you would become proud parents at that day because of the present that you have received in your daughter. And so today we come to dedicate Nora Carol Tyler. And it is an occasion that we can celebrate both her birth and her dedication and to reflect on God's goodness. So Mark and Johanna, what is your response to this dedication? And that is true. Their lives are forever changed. Those of us all sitting here can be testimony to that, and we can witness that that will indeed happen. Scripture commands you as parents to teach Nora about the Lord Jesus Christ. This will prepare her to meet the challenges of this life and to also prepare her to meet the Lord when he comes again. Remember, Advent is not just the coming of the Lord, it's also the return of the Lord as well. And so it's very important to remember that her spiritual welfare will not be accomplished simply by telling her about Jesus, but we all must live as Jesus lived and live by example. And that's so important. It is in that way that she will know God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. So Mark and Johanna, do you resolve to let Christ shine through your life daily? And also in your home. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they had to think about that one. Yeah. I put some extra stuff in there to make it good and tight. Yeah, I threw in some things there on purpose. The Lord guided me in that, I can assure you. Now, as a church, we're all part of the family of God. As a family, we will support Mark and Johanna in their efforts to portray Christ to their child. Here is a question that I ask to the congregation. Will we rise to the challenge of being brothers and sisters in Christ and exhibit godly characteristics and provide continuity in what is being taught at home and what is being seen at church? Congregation? And to Nora's family, I apologize for omitting you when it came for your time to make your commitment, but I am sure that you are willing to make your commitment, and if you will, simply say, we do.
We do.
There's always a way. Please look at this tiny little child, and if you could see her hands, you would also see that they are tiny and her feet are tiny. Lord, these hands are so tiny hands are so trusting, and they are. They are so innocent, and they are so innocent. And yet they will grow into a world that has been tainted by hatred, greed, sin, and darkness. All of us together. Lord, protect Nora, your child. Lord, the future may seem uncertain, and yet we look at Nora in her innocence, and we are blessed with hope. Lord, we dedicate Nora to you as parents, family, spiritual mentors, teachers, and friends. Lord, help us to play our roles in providing Nora with that inner peace and sense of security that can only come from you. Amen. Now, if you want a visual symbol of security, there it is. Right there. The calmness, the peace, and the security. Now, Art, I'll ask for you, if you would, to please present the rose that you have been given to Mark. And this rose will signify the commitment of you to your family and your family to Nora's growth as a child of God. And Carol, you now present your rose to Johanna. And this rose will signify the commitment of you and our family to Nora's growth as a child of God. And then on behalf of the congregation, I would like to add this rose, and I will give it to both of you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. I'll take it right here. You can put all three right here. And so on behalf of her extended family, friends, congregation, we present Nora and her presence with these roses to commit her to her growth as a child of God. Now, notice something. How many roses do we have? Three. There's a reason for three roses. There is God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May she be undergirded by all three. All right, I'm going to set this back here. And at the end of the service, you can take these flowers, put them into these flowers, which are for her and for everyone to enjoy this morning. Now, the last part. And we will sign this later. We won't do it here. But as you will see, we have a certificate of dedication for Nora, suitable for framing, and you can have it to remember this day. And so I'm going to share it with the congregation, and I two verses here that are very important to the family. And so it starts off like this. We prayed for our child, and the Lord granted our request. Today we dedicate our daughter to God, knowing that throughout her life, she will be blessed because with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. So this certificate certifies that Nora Carol Tyler, born on October 1st, 2019, was dedicated to God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit upon the request of Nora Carol Tyler's loving parents, Johanna Alexandra Tyler and Mark Arthur Tyler, who vow to raise her according to God's word. And then it says, on December 8th, 2019, at Berea Baptist Church, Durham, North Carolina. So all of it is here. You can then sign and frame it, and then as the parting scripture underneath, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Congratulations, and thank you for being willing to dedicate your child to God and to raising her with those values and that character. And thank you, church, for undergirding her and contributing to her development. And I think at the end we can all have a good round of applause. God bless each one of you, and that worked out really well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 11. The reading actually goes through verse 10, but I wanted to zero in on just the first two verses because here is where the significance of the message is. These two verses talk about the coming of the Davidic king, but we also see as early Christians that this was also a prophecy for the coming of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So Isaiah 11, 1 through 2. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And here is the fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so as we have just dedicated Nora, and that we made the commitment as a congregation, may we reflect in all that we do God's wisdom, God's understanding, God's counsel, God's strength, God's knowledge. And may we respect and honor the Lord in all that we do. Amen. Okay, we will now have the Advent part. Phil.
This is the second Sunday of Advent. Are we there yet? Every journey faces the unknown. The anxiety can sometimes overwhelm us. There is too much to do. Our lists are too long. Our calendars are all filled up. We worry that something will go wrong. We won't end up in the right place at the right time. We're on the right route to wherever we're going. Getting lost is a real possibility on our journey. And yet, we claim hope for the journey because we follow the one who will travel with us.
All right, at this point in the service, since our choir members were going to be assisting with our children as they exit, we will now have the special, and then we will come back and get the second congregational hymn.
I'm just going to keep you on your toes.
Thank you.
And as we are making a peaceful transition, I'd also like to bring to your attention, you'll notice that throughout this month, we will be taking the Lottie Moon offering in support of missions to various different countries throughout the world. Yep. And so what we're going to do, you'll notice there's a thermometer here, and you see some gingerbread people. What we will do throughout the next couple of Sundays is we're going to ask our children, our little ones, to assist us. And so as we begin to meet our goal for this year, they're going to be tacking on gingerbread figures, and we'll see if we can get it all the way to the top. And this gives us a chance for them to also participate with us. She's right there. Here you go. There you go, right there. She's coming. There you go, right through there. You know, part of the joy of having children, particularly of that age, in a church is that they have the, and particularly given the size that we are, we have the opportunity to really nurture them. And, you know, as I look at the time on this clock, they did an amazing job to stay as long as they did and to be a part of what is here. And the only way they're going to learn how to do this is to be here and to be a part. And so thank you so much for your patience. And I know that you understand, and I know that you love them. And they know it too, believe me. This is a place for them, which can be a place of fun and love and joy. And we want them to know that church is that. It is a place where you can come and be loved. Now, that fits very well into the scripture passage that we have this morning from the New Testament. And so if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 1, and I want to share with you Mary's song of praise. It's in verses chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. It's also known as the Magnificat, and we will talk more about that in a few minutes. But join, listen as I share her song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul praises or magnifies the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed," and they do, "because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on all those who fear him, all those who reverence and respect him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors." Amen.
Our second congregational hymn this morning will be 176, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." We'll sing both verses of 176. Let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
for a meditation this morning, we can boldly proclaim hope has been fulfilled. And that hope is fulfilled in our experience of God's mercy. And so with that proclamation, I want to ask you two very important questions. First, what kind of person are you? I'm really serious about that one. Myself, you, all of us. What kind of people are we? And second, what meanings do you place on the events that you experience? And what might influence those meanings? Let me give you an example. A story was told several years ago about a person that had been away from home a couple days, came in, found out that his house had been cleaned. Everything was straightened out. Everything was spiffy. Kitchen cleaned up, bathrooms cleaned up, beds made, flowers on the pillow. Now, if that happened to you, what would you think? You can really answer. If that happened to you, what would you think? Somebody got the wrong house. Somebody got the wrong house. You might would like to know who that person is that did that and invite them over. Well, this particular person called the police. Of course, there was only one problem. When he called the police, everything had been so cleaned up, there was no evidence. But here's the point. How do we look at things? How do we interpret things? What is it that influences what we see and how we see it? Now, to give you a case in point, Christmas. For Christians, it means several things. The birth of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord again, proclamations of John the Baptist, and all these symbols that we see here in this room point to the coming of the Savior. However, for those who may not know the Lord, as Jesus is their Lord and Savior, Christmas may mean something very, very, very different. So your point of reference makes all the difference. All the difference. And so it's important that we understand where we're coming from and where our faith and our trust rest. All of those are so critical, so important. It's also important to look at how we tend to just look at life in general. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to respond, but you know what I mean when I say this. Some of us are optimists, some of us are pessimists, and some of us are somewhere in between. Some of us, when we see a glass, we see it as half full or half empty. Some of us, when we walk into the room, people are glad, others are what? Upset, let's be honest. Do we reflect God's love and mercy and grace in this world, and particularly at this season and at this time, when we are very busy doing a lot of different things? But do we realize the gift of the Christ child, that gift of love, that gift of grace, and that gift of mercy, and that hope, which had been a hope for many years, being fulfilled? It's also important to know about expected and unexpected outcomes. We live in a world today where if you're a worker, it's easy to be replaced. Automation is just one of the ways. And so things might be more, quote, efficient, but what if unemployment goes up because people are replaced and they can't find a job? Intended, unintended consequences. The passage in Isaiah was talking about the Davidic king that would come, the reign in the Davidic line. But Isaiah also, in other parts, talks about a suffering servant as well. So Jesus did come and reigns as King of Kings. But his message was, he who would be first must be willing to be what? Last. And servant to all. Again, a different expectation. We also know of the Christ child, the innocent baby. Think back to Nora just lying on her mother's chest and with her father close by and all family. Notice everybody was smiling today. Notice all of that. But yet, when we talk about the announcement of the birth of Jesus, the Magi go to Herod. Herod knows there's a baby too, but is he welcoming this baby? No, he's fearful of what this baby may represent. For that baby grew up, and that baby changed the world. We are here because of what that baby did, of what that little life did in a short period of time. So, do we welcome that child? I think also of the power of music. Let me give you something from different traditions. Some of you may or may not have read a very influential book. It was written over 100 years ago. It was written by W.B. Du Bois, and it was called The Souls of Black Folk. It's a book that's very much relevant to the culture of the time and also today. And in the last reading in that book, the last chapter, there's a chapter entitled The Sorrow Songs. The Sorrow Songs include songs like Steal Away, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, spiritual songs rooted in faith, but which also expressed the hope of persons that had been enslaved. And so in those songs, you see the heart of the people, but you also see the love and the mercy and grace of God in those songs as well. Tonight, many will go caroling. We will sing many of the familiar Christmas carols. Think for a moment as I mention these songs. Think about what are some of the first things that come to your mind about the Christmas season, about your faith. Songs like Silent Night. What images does that bring? O Come All Ye Faithful. O Little Town of Bethlehem. Joy to the world, and O Holy Night. All those images are powerful, and they talk about the experiences shared by the Christian community as to who Jesus is and what the birth of this Christ child is all about. We also have Mary's song. I mentioned to you it's known as the Magnificat. Magnificat is Latin for magnify. If you read the Greek text, you will find megalonai,
also meaning to magnify. Mary's song is also very close in some respects to Hannah's song in 1 Samuel when Hannah is talking about the birth of her child, Samuel. And she talks about her heart rejoicing in the Lord. Mary talks about her spirit rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I want you to pay close attention to in a couple of weeks when we have the cantata. You will see here at the top the word Magnificat, what we just talked about. The women will be singing this as part of the Christmas story. It is based on the text that we read earlier from Luke. But let me share with you these words again. My soul, my very soul, my very being magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Notice that. Her heart is magnified because she knows God as her what? Savior. And this child will be the Savior of the world. For he that is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. I magnify the Lord. I glorify the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, for he says to me that I am highly favored. But do you realize that God also highly favors each one of you, each one of us? God does favor us. I am highly favored. He sends his salvation to all who believe. And that salvation is available to who? Everyone. There are no restrictions. I didn't do it. I didn't push it. It's available to everyone. For all who believe, and holy is his name, I magnify the Lord. So when you hear that song in 2 weeks, think back to today. Think back to the dedication. Think back to the image of the little child. Think back about what Mary is doing and how she is praising and glorifying God. Because that is so critical to why we are here and why we observe the faith that we do. Now, in the two passages that we looked at, in Isaiah, we see a picture of the Davidic king, one who knew and had the Spirit of God upon him, one who would lead with wisdom and knowledge, counsel and strength, and would fear the Lord. But we also know that this was fulfilled by Jesus himself as well. Then looking at this thing of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, I'm reminded of a quote by Mark Twain that is really worth repeating. Mark Twain made the statement that he didn't worry about what he didn't know. Now think about that for a second. He didn't worry about what he didn't know. What he worried about were the things that he knew that weren't so. Notice the difference. How much of the stuff that we know just really isn't so in that respect? So where is the real wisdom? Where is that counsel? Where is that strength? Well, for Isaiah, it is in the fear and the respect of the Lord. And then Mary, my spirit, my heart, my soul magnifies, glorifies, praises the Lord. And if you look carefully, go back and look at this scripture later today, you will see that Mary speaks to three specific things in this song, and it really is a song. First, verses 46 to 49 are about Mary herself. She is blessed. God has given her favor. She will give birth to the Messiah. She acknowledges that up front. Then she turns to people, to us, to those who walk in everyday life. And she talks about God's mercy, God's power, and God's favor, which is extended to all of us. See, the song's not just about Mary. It's about what God has done for her and what God has done for each one of us. That's what the song is really about. In some ways, it's mistitled. It is her song, but it's not about Mary. It's about what God has done for Mary, for us, and then also for Israel, because she talks about mercy that God has bestowed and the covenant with Abraham, which will continue to be honored. So what does all of this mean? I'd like to suggest to you a couple of things. First, we have hope for a future. And that hope is rested in Jesus Christ and knowing him as our Lord and our Savior. The sins that we have are forgiven. They've been taken care of. The eternal life is there. Spurgeon, a book called All of Grace, reminds us of something very, very important. There is nothing we can do to earn salvation. Absolutely nothing. It is a gift that has been given freely by grace. But we have to be willing to accept it. Second, Mary reminds us that our joy is in the Lord. And that our joy can be complete. Does that mean we won't have sickness, suffering, unpleasant things happen? No, not at all. We still have that. But we know that we are in God's arms. And God's grace and God's mercy embraces us in all that we do. So no matter what we may experience, we can count it all joy. We have a choice in that. Third, throughout the life course and throughout our life course, we can say Emmanuel. Does anybody know what that means? Emmanuel. God with us. This week I've had the opportunity to attend a funeral and a baby dedication. The whole complete gamut. Life's like that. But God is with us in all of that. All of it. The pleasant and the unpleasant. And then finally, during this season of Christmas, may we be very mindful, while we have joy and while we have hope and while we know that God is with us, may we be mindful that for many people, this season is a season of struggle. This is a hard season. May we be mindful. May we be attuned to loneliness, to sadness, to confinement, to loss, to things that weigh heavy on persons' hearts. If, as you are given the opportunities, and they happen for us all the time, we just have to seize them. If the Lord impresses upon your heart to give someone a call, please call them. If the Lord impresses upon your heart to visit someone, please do it. Please respond. Show that love, that grace, that mercy. Be willing to listen. Be be willing to help someone through what they're going and facing. And if someone needs a ride, look at all the events that we have this week on Sunday mornings and on Sunday evening, whether it's caroling, the cantata, the worship service. If someone needs a ride, tell them you're coming by to get them and pick them up. Those are things that matter. They're significant and they're important. And so, what does all this mean? Christ has come. We know his love. We know his mercy. We know his grace. And may we share it with everyone that we encounter. Our hymn of decision this morning is a very important hymn, a very well-known hymn, Silent Night, Holy Night. Please respond as the Lord speaks to you.
We'll sing the first verse of hymn 206, Silent Night, Holy Night. Let us stand and sing together.
Contrast in the very first verse of this psalm. Even in the midst of all that we face, it says all is calm. If we know that peace of God, which passes all understanding, we will be calm and we will be at peace. All is bright, even though we may face darkness and walk into darkness. All is bright because the Christ child has come and he's coming again. So with that being said, I ask God's blessing upon each one of us this week. May this be a week that we have the opportunity to share God's love, to bless people, and also experience his favor. And to that, God's people said, amen. All right, everybody have a great week.